Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important to you right now. So we've opened the phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the basic elements of the gospel is the fact that we've been set free, and one of my favorite passages, and I think we would all agree with this as far as our favorites are concerned, is Romans 8, chapter verses 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So when we talk about freedom, we're talking about some very specific things as far as the gospel is concerned. We were bound up to the law of sin and death. That's what God said to Adam and Eve: the day you eat, you will surely die. So all of humankind, mankind, has been bound up to that law until Jesus. And then Jesus, by the power of the Spirit of life, has set us free. And that is so central to experiencing the abundant life in Christ on a daily basis, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can find many books and many preachers and teachers who, Bob, you know, they're talking about the grace of God, and they talk about it perhaps in a very general way, and none of it's wrong. They say that God is gracious, and God is good, and God is kind, and God is loving. But when it's when you get to the core of the matter in a passage like Romans 8, where you begin to see, now let's get really specific about this love and grace of God. And so what you're seeing is it's like the law of gravity, which always functions in a certain way. What goes up has got to come down. And then here you hop on an airplane like I just did to get here to Dallas. And, you know, it appears, it seems, it feels like at least that that airplane enables me to supersede the law of gravity or circumvent the law of gravity, or, you know, a higher law is introduced, a different law. And in the same way, this passage is saying that we in Christ benefit from a higher law, a better law, a law that supersedes the law of gravity, so to speak. The law of sin and death is superseded by God's Spirit. So he comes to live in us, and then automatically no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And man, I wish we could shout that one from the rooftops, don't you?
Oh, man, I know it. I was just at a Bible study not too long ago in Childress, Texas, and there's a great little church out there, a cowboy church, and one of our friends is leading a Bible study group, and he gets to this passage on there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And boy, the group just went through the roof with excitement, because so many of them had never really applied that in their day-to-day lives. They were still carrying the guilt, the shame, the fear, all of that stuff with them, and very afraid of God's punishment. And when this verse really hit home, I mean, the light bulbs went on, and there's just an excitement in this church based on this one verse. I mean, it is that significant.
And you begin to apply these two words, Bob, to our top questions on the program. You know, one of our top questions is, can I lose my salvation? Well, look, there's no condemnation. Am I forgiven of all my sins, or do I have to ask over and over for more forgiveness? Look, there's no condemnation. So as you begin to look at these hot button issues, these two words, no condemnation, they really bring to light a lot of answers.
Yes, they do. Resonate deeply within the hearts of people who are really open to what God's truth is all about. And as we say, that truth will set people free in their own experience. And that's our hope and prayer for you. And if you have a question about forgiveness, about condemnation, any of those things that are so vitally important on a day-to-day basis, call us right now. We would love to hear from you.
That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. Plenty of time on the clock. Plenty of time for you to address your question on this edition of Basic Gospel. Well, guys, I think it's a very interesting question, something that we haven't really discussed before on this particular program. This is from Rick, who listens on our great New York affiliate, WMCA.
He says, sometimes I hate to pray for a Christian, or an unbeliever for that matter, based on my uncertainty that I might take on some of their karma. I don't want to shoulder any of whatever troubles them, although I gladly pray to Jesus that he take care of them and clean them up where needed. Not that I believe that the karma is catching, yet I wish to approach the individual in a pure way without walking away with some of their spiritual or physical or emotional junk. Therefore, please tell us something about why it is better for us to pray for one another rather than for us to pray for ourselves. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for yourself. And, you know, a lot of what I will pray is, God, you know, open the eyes of my heart to your grace so that I understand the depths of this new covenant to the fullest possible way. I want to know you. I want to know your truth. I want to be continually set free by the truth that changes everything. So there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself, because I think a lot of times the Spirit of God leads us in ways to pray for ourselves. But as far as, you know, Rick's question about praying for other people, guys, I think the idea that somehow you're going to, it's almost like Ghostbusters or something, you're going to get slimed, you're going to get some oozy, yucky stuff on you by praying for people who are struggling with sin. And I think that's really not a scriptural concept. I mean, the fact is the evil one can't touch us. And you say, well, why would we pray for other people? Because we love them, we care about them, we want what's best for them, we want them to have a full revelation of the gospel and to experience Christ as peace and life. And so we pray for other people, but the idea that we would somehow get contaminated, it's almost like I think that's a false idea the enemy could introduce to keep us from praying for other people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think part of our love one for another, you know, implies that we pray one for another. I think that's one tangible expression of our love for another person. And I think when we do pray for another individual, I think it inspires us, encourages us to actually roll up our sleeves and get involved with them and try to help. And to do exactly what Paul wrote in Galatians, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. I think love kind of compels us to get involved with people in a very positive way, to bring the message of encouragement to their hearts.
Yeah, it does. But you've got to, one of the things we who, you know, have the job of minister, and anyone who ministers to other people, someone will come up to you and say, please pray for me. And quite often I'll say to them, no, I won't pray for you, but I'll be happy to pray with you. Because they think somehow I've got the special words or the special power. I don't. It's the same Spirit in me who wants to live in
Richard,
them.
Richard, you're bringing shocking information to us today. We just had you up on that pedestal.
Oh, well, yeah. I love living up there, but none of it's true.
We thought you were nice to people when they asked you to pray.
But there's, you know, at first it's shocking to people, but then it's disarming.
Right.
Because they realize there is no condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
I can come to God with whatever it is I've got going on,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to accept me. He's going to help me and listen and then speak into my life. That to me is the essence of praying for people. We're actually praying with them.
And you're affirming in them the priesthood of the believer.
Yes.
I mean, the idea that every one of us, we're part of a royal priesthood, and there's not a higher tier. There's not a level 7 for some believers, that, you know, we're all children of God. We all have direct access. So I get it. I think that some people really, because of the history of, you can look at the history of the church beginning back in 313 AD, more or less, and you can see where, you know, we've set up authority figures as superior to others, and then access to God is through them. And so we're, you know, the new covenant is blowing that to smithereens and saying, no, it's a free for all. We're all in. We've got Christ in us, and we're in Christ. If we've received him, then there's just full access for everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other thing that you hear is that there's power in prayer. I hear that all the time. No, there's not power in prayer. There's power in the object of our prayer, and he is Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question. If you'd like to join the conversation, why, give us a call right now. The lines are wide open, plenty of time remaining on the clock, and you won't have a better opportunity to speak with the guys today and pose your question. 844-322-2742.
Found it interesting. We were talking about prayer, and you said, here are some of the things that I pray for as far as myself is concerned, wanting to know the Lord, wanting to... What were some of the other things?
Yeah, just, you know, this having a full revelation of what it means to be under grace. I think it's a lifetime journey. It's an adventure. And so I don't want to foolishly think that, you know, I've arrived at a place where I've got the truth that sets me free, because it's the Son that sets me free. And I don't know the Son fully. He lives in me and I live in him, but getting to know him and what he's like is a lifetime journey and then some.
Yes, it is. I was interested, Richard, as far as you are concerned, if you have a prayer for yourself, what is it? What would it be?
Oh, it's very similar to Andrew's. I mean, just, I want to understand more. I want to more of what I've been given. I know I've been given things. There are things that I know that I can't say,
mm-hmm.
because the Spirit hasn't worked them into my brain yet. And that's the prayer. Help me understand so that I properly represent you to other people.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Bob Davis?
I think, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment, because so many times I have the impression that someone is being truthful with me when they're not. I find out later that they're not. So give me discernment. I think that's very important.
Yeah, I know for me, it's, you know, part of this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is understanding that not only salvation is by grace through faith, but all of life is lived through that same paradigm, by grace through faith. And so one of the things that I'm constantly praying, as far as I, you know, myself is concerned, is what does that mean in this particular situation? How do I respond to your grace in this situation, whether it's a good situation, whether it's a bad situation? How does faith look in light of what's going on right now? How can I genuinely trust you? I think that's one of the places that we kind of miss it as far as the Christian life is concerned. We don't spend enough time really digging into this idea of faith. That's this new life that we've been called to live. You know, our favorite verse is in Galatians 2:20. You know, we've been crucified with Christ. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we live in this body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So what is this new way of life? It's faith. Faith in the risen Christ who indwells us. What does that look like? How do we live that out in day-to-day basis? And I think that's something that's totally foreign to our way of thinking. It's not the way of the flesh. It's not the way of the world. We don't have that.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that I pray, or I don't think, I know, is Lord, teach me how to respond to you in faith. Keep maturing that faith, bringing it to its completeness in me. And so I think it's okay to pray for yourself. And
yeah.
I hope this conversation has been a help to our listeners out there and been an encouragement. So.
Absolutely. But again, time on the clock, 844-322-2742. And we want to just pause right now, friends, and say thanks to each of you who has given many times sacrificially to help ensure that others hear the same message on Basic Gospel that's made a difference in your life. But, you know, the work is not over, as we said yesterday. We need to keep the good news coming. And if you can help today with an extra gift, perhaps your first gift, well, that will be helpful to the max. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. And help us make sure that this message remains on the air, changing lives by the truth of God's Word. And keep in mind also, with your gift of $15 or more this month, you're going to receive a copy of Bob's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I think it's a simply wonderful idea.
Me too. Thanks. Well, let's go to our phone lines. Let's talk with Wayne down in Louisiana. Hi, Wayne. Welcome
to
Basic Gospel.
How y'all doing this evening?
Doing fantastic.
Hey,
nice to hear from you.
Yeah. I kind of got a new toy. I'm listening to you guys on the internet.
Excellent.
Great.
And y'all started off and y'all were saying some things, and I've kind of been wanting to talk to Richard about this, but I've been one of them guys that had asked him to pray with me one time, and he said no.
That's our Richard.
It shocked me. It took a while, but what I want to say is, the short and sweet of it is that it did show me, in fact, what y'all just said, that Richard couldn't do nothing for me that I couldn't have done for myself. And, Richard, I'd like to say thank you. I've been wanting to talk to you about this. but I just never got around to doing it. But y'all are absolutely correct. And it's fantastic to know that we can go to the throne of grace on our own behalf as well as asking others. But it did empower me. It did encourage me to know that I myself could pray for myself just, you know, as well as asking somebody else. So thank you.
Well, here's a great passage, Wayne. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." That access is available to every believer, as Andrew was saying. That's the priesthood of the believer. Christ himself indwells us, and that is the best news. And Richard, you just keep saying no.
Right, yeah, no.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call in to say that I'm a living testimony to what y'all said. And, you know, it sounds odd. It's strange maybe to the world, but thank you, Richard.
You're very welcome.
But, yes.
Thanks for nothing.
It's just fantastic. Well, okay, guys. I love you guys. Y'all keep up the good work, and I'll be talking to y'all later.
Hey, thanks, Wayne. Great to hear from you.
Okay, hello, Andrew. You don't know me, but I know you.
Hey, Wayne, great to hear from you, brother. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I was listening to you this morning on the internet, your Easter Sunday message about the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you like all that stuff about Jesus and the resurrection. Fairly important, isn't it?
Yes, I loved how you said it's actually kind of dangerous because we're not used to hearing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, you can ask them guys sitting around you. I'm in a perfect living example of that myself.
Mm.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. Y'all keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. God bless you, my friend. Well, let's go to Queens, New York, and talk to Andrea. Hi, Andrea. How are you today? Welcome to Basic Gospel.
I'm great. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are so welcome. How can we help you? What's on your mind?
Okay, so my question is related to music. As a Christian, I see a lot of arguments amongst believers regarding what type of music we should be allowed to listen to. And I just wanted to know if we should strictly only be listening to Christ-like music, or if it's okay to kind of listen to some secular music sometimes.
I would say only techno music. seriously.
Yeah, death metal, perhaps. I don't know.
Seriously, I think this is a case where we apply the freedom of the believer along with godly wisdom. We inquire of God, and, you know, it comes down to the same thing as, you know, when you treat the alcohol issue. Should I have a drink? Am I free to have a drink, or should I avoid it altogether? And what is the nature of my struggle? You know, should I go to this place that fills my mind with all kinds of thoughts that I struggle with, or is this a no-brainer for me because there's no struggle at all happening? So I think you have to assess, you know, where you're at, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit within us. And we can't really, it's not a time to legislate, you know, thou shalt not ever listen to this music, thou shalt always listen to this music. See, we're looking, it seems like the human tendency here is we look for the never, and we look for the always, and we want it to be cut and dry, we want it to be black and white so that we can do the right thing, and if we're doing the right thing, then we feel right with God. And what's so beautiful, Andrea, about this situation is that our rightness with God does not come through listening to certain music. Our rightness with God comes through Jesus Christ. And so if we're already right, if we're already righteous and already right because of Jesus, then I have to wake up and ask responsible questions like, does this affect me, and how does this affect me, and is this positive or negative in my life, and how does this enable me to set my mind or not on things above? And so I begin to ask these questions that are mature questions. They're not questions of fear or of being afraid of punishment or being afraid of being disconnected from God or anything like that. They're mature questions because I know my righteousness is solid and safe and unshakable, unbreakable. So then I grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I mess up and make mistakes and I learn and I fall and skin my knee and get back up and learn and grow from that. But I really think that this is a case where the believer has freedom and yet needs to seek the wisdom of God in every matter. So it's not a black and white answer. There's nothing that we can write down on stone to say that we're doing it right if we do this. So you're really going to have to trust Christ in you on this matter. And he's a big, big God. And if there's any issue at all, he's certainly capable of helping you through that. Does that help?
Perfect. Thank you. I love that answer. I love it. Thank you so much.
All right, Andrea. Hey,
thanks
for your
call.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to David in Eufaula, Oklahoma, listening to us on the internet. Hi, David.
Actually, I'm listening to you on the radio.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you are welcome, my friend.
I'm a long-distance truck driver, and I was just going through Oklahoma there. I don't know what station it was. But my question is this. I was listening to you. Something about no condemnation or something like that. Is that what y'all are saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the Bible says, and we were just reading a passage out of Romans 8:1.
Okay. Would you mind reading that for me right quick?
Okay. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Now, exactly what does that mean?
Well, David, it's some incredible news. It means, you know, to condemn would be where a judge would come in and he would levy a verdict on a criminal and he would say guilty, 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 and then he would give the punishment. He would condemn that person to 50 years in prison or condemn that person to death. And the beauty of the gospel, David, is that we are freed from condemnation because, of course, Jesus is the one who took the punishment so that we don't have to. So that's what we celebrate in Christ, that Jesus paid the price in full, and every Christian on the planet, whoever has called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, every Christian on the planet doesn't have to worry about condemnation, punishment, or death because Jesus Christ took it all.
Okay. Now, my next question is this. Doesn't it say in the Bible, do not let the sun fall on you without being confession every day?
Well, it says don't let the sun fall on your anger. In other words, you don't want things to boil over or fester, whether it's in your marriage or your friendships. It's not very healthy to let your anger be prolonged over time. So that passage is really about anger. When it comes to the issue of a Christian's forgiveness, well, a Christian is totally forgiven, past, present, and future. They're forgiven of all their sins. It's absolutely healthy to say, Lord, I blew it. I can't believe I did this. I'm asking you for wisdom as I move forward. But the idea that we would have to get cleansed over and over and over, that's actually an Old Testament concept. And under the New Covenant, Jesus cleansed us once for all.
That's good news. So that's why we can say, David, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God has to say, and I think that's one of the most important passages in the Bible. And if we really want to understand the love of God, I think that's one of the places that we need to start. David, let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information. Would love to get some more information into your hands, some resources and that can address this question that you've asked even in more detail. And then we'd love to hear back from you. Okay, my friend? We sure appreciate your call. You
yes,
hang
indeed.
On.
Yes, indeed. An interesting broadcast today, guys. And friends, we want to invite you to download the Basic Gospel app, now available in the Apple App Store. You can listen live. You can catch up on the radio archives. You can read the blogs. You can watch our videos. It works on iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android, I do believe. Okay, I'm getting thumbs up on that. That's great. So download that app today if you can, and I think you're going to enjoy having it on your device. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page on the website. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. And please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. At the same website, just click donate, and we would love for you to become a partner with us in the dissemination of this wonderful good news of Jesus Christ and God's love for you. Well, we're out of time, and so thanks to Bob and Andrew and Richard and to you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, and see you then. Bye-bye.